Now, special needs trusts can really help with some of these gaps when you're dealing with this kind of situation. You can certainly hire a care manager, which is probably the most valuable thing that can be done. And the care manager can be asked to help assist to create a caring community for the individual. And that really means developing friends for the unbefriended, which is as simple to describe, although much more difficult to carry out. But finding a cadre of neighbors and others nearby willing to help and lend a hand and provide a watchful eye. It may even just be the postman every day. But making use of neighbors who can help out can be really important, and a care manager can help with that. But to address the gaps takes some forethought and assessment. Assessing risk. Living alone can pose a lot of risks depending upon the level of functioning of the individual. That needs to be assessed. Determining whether there is a support system. There's often potential supporters who are out there but not easily seen. And if you can find them, that really is a step forward. Evaluating decision-making capacity is important. Screening and being watchful for elder abuse, neglect, and financial exploitation is critical. Knowing your adult protective services folks in your community, and APS operates, some of them are great in some communities, some of them not so helpful in others. So knowing what they can offer is important. Doing what can be done to enhance safety in the living environment of the person. Managing money, that's probably the kind of thing that you're most comfortable doing in the trust situation. Managing health issues, including whether it is possible to create a healthcare power of attorney. And then there's basic estate planning and funeral planning arrangements, and reviewing decision-making options for the person. And along those lines, one thing I like to always touch on is this issue of capacity to appoint a healthcare agent, because it is not well defined in most states. It is considered, it is analogized to contractual capacity or testamentary capacity, but it's pretty vaguely defined in most places. There are only a couple states that I know of that actually define it in statute. And Vermont is the example that I provide here, which I think is a pretty a simple and straightforward, useful definition. A capacity to appoint a healthcare agent requires a basic understanding of what it means to have another individual make healthcare decisions for oneself, who would be an appropriate individual to make those decisions, and the ability to identify whom the individual wants to make healthcare decisions for the individual. So that's not really a high level of capacity, although you may be asking yourself, the person can identify somebody, but are they using good judgment in who they pick out? Of course, that's an issue for everybody, even when your capacity is totally intact. But there is a judgmental part of capacity that is what is needed to identify an appropriate individual. But nevertheless, this is not an extremely high level of capacity. So it is important to think about whether a healthcare agent can be appointed even when a person is a disabled beneficiary. And we even have found that this is sometimes possible in the context of guardianship. Now, for the rest of my slides, I want to point out some resources that you may find useful. The National Alzheimer's Disease Resource Center is funded by the Administration for Community Living, and its purpose is to make program information and resources available to individuals and organizations around the country dealing with Alzheimer's and related disorders. They provide a whole bunch of resources online and great technical assistance to programs in the Aging Network. This is their homepage, and I recommend you're taking a look at their resources. One resource I want to identify in particular is this Handbook for Helping People Living Alone with Dementia Who Have No Known Support. It is written for caregivers, but it is useful, I think, for this audience too, as a great overview with a lot of common sense information in it. And I also have to give a plug for our program, because we helped them with some of the legal aspects of planning that are contained in this booklet. Another thing that often is not thought about for people who are solo agers, and they still have a level of capacity that they can do some planning, is to develop a value profile. And that is really looking into not just kind of the wishes about they want this treatment or that treatment, but really understanding the individual's priorities, lifelong values, and important preferences, and getting those recorded in some way. Because when they're no longer able to make decisions and stranger surrogates have to step in, if it devolves to that situation, then having this kind of information really enables decisions to be made that respect that individual's person and lifelong values. While they still have decision-making capacity of some level, you can inform, encourage, and support the individual, but the beneficiary remains the decision maker whenever possible, particularly around healthcare decisions and other personal decisions. But that's the time to start developing this kind of profile.